conference tournaments are going to be a blast to watch. It affects seeding. That's what it does, because you have so many teams now. I mean, I don't even think there's a handful. I don't even know if you can take five teams. I think there's five or six teams that are fighting for the number one seed. And then based on resumes and all that, man, we could spend 2 weeks sitting back and forth debating on who should be doing what and where they should be. I deeply believe that all games are going to be, you know, 1 in 16 games, one versus 16, you never know. But there's nobody out there. I mean, there's some teams that if you think about it, Purdue happens to be one. First two rounds and you're playing Purdue and you haven't seen Zach Edey and he's 7-4 and he does, you know, maybe that inner, you know, does that. The way Houston and Kansas play defense, that could change some of these games. But I think there's all kinds of opportunities out there for 5 to be to 12, you know, or 12 be to 5. I just think they're out there, and I think that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway in West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. DeMoss Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at DeMoss.com. You're going to know how many people are ahead of you and what estimated time frame is. And I've talked to them, and they're pretty darn good at getting that down, which is kind of cool. New to DeMoss is Engineer Performance by DeMoss, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa. Joey Glenn, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers. Getting ready to do a bunch of stuff with Des Moines Orthopedic Centers with my gal. Can't wait. We have our next thing is, I do believe, is March 20. Hold on. I do believe it is March 22nd. It is the IMT Marathon Iowa Wolves basketball game. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we'll have more about that coming up in the next week or so. I think that may have one that we may go down there and do a live show, which will be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. Okay, so I was bringing into the conversation the reports that are coming out today, and I'm just, give me one quick second here to just click on. I'm looking for that. I'm trying to pull up what I'm doing here. I'm trying to pull up the ACC and their that's the one conference. So they have right now, they are sitting at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they're sitting at 14 teams. So they're pretty solid. We have BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida coming into the Big 12. We're losing Oklahoma and Texas. And I think with the 14 teams, I think the ACC is in a pretty good spot. We've talked about this, that I think the Big 12 still needs to add a few teams. And I do believe the Big 10 needs to add a couple of teams too. And I think those teams in the long run, if it was two, I think it's going to be Oregon and Washington. I know Stanford fits that bill as well. What is happening out there is the Pac-12 is having a hard time getting a television deal, what's the word I'm looking for? It can't be on the ION network, and it can't be, you know, it can't be pay-per-view. It can't be some of those things. And the numbers aren't adding up right now. And with that being said, it was stated today that the let me pull it up to make sure I don't mess that up. Oh, Lordy B. There she be. Right. You would think that I would have had it, and I had it right there. And now I cannot find it because I have a slow motion going on here. Okay. There we go. So it was stated today that the Big 12 has contacted Arizona State, and Utah and Colorado. And they have physically, through the Big 12 conference, have contacted them to make available, if they can, to make a move to the Big 12. I think that was needed. I think the Big 12 needed to grab some more teams. I think that gets them in a really good situation. The one thing that it doesn't do, so it says Arizona values hoops and would not be surprised to see those two schools go to join, you know, to be in, to join KU. Colorado has, all of a sudden, I think Colorado would have been a sticking point, taking Colorado, even though they were a Big 8 team. But the fact that Deion Sanders is there and what he's going to bring to the table for dollars, I think helped. Utah is a no-brainer. Number one, it gives BYU one of their tag team partners when you're looking at that. I think Arizona State were no-brainers, just because the one thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't get, because that gets you mountain time, it doesn't get you someone in Pacific time zones. And I think that was one of the things that they were looking at. I know it's one of the things that the Big Ten, in grabbing USC and UCLA, not only for name recognition, but it was to get that Pacific time. So it gives you a whole nother block of TV where you're going to have control over a lot that is watched. The one issue that everyone is kind of looking at, there's two of them. First, here's the first one, and this was some of the fallout today. Was, it's not surprising, as the Pac-12 presidents and commissioner have kind of, and this is, sorry, but it have sat in their tower like a secret debate society, and the Big 12 has been bold. And I think the Big 12 has to be bold in order to keep up with the Big 10 and the SEC. And it's strange to me, because then I don't see, I mean, I'm looking at the ACC. I don't know. I actually don't think the ACC wants to grow and pick up a Pac-12 team and have all that travel. I think there are teams in the Big Ten that are leery of the travel schedule, the dollars, the travel time, the amount of time. If you have an away game, let's say that you're Michigan State and you have an away game at USC, and then the next week you have a home game, are you going to be as fresh as you were if you were playing someone that was, I mean, it coaches and you know, athletic directors, they look at all these things, and it's very interesting. But I think the Big 12 still has to move. I think they have to make moves. Even if it does break down and the Pac-12 is going and you get those four, I don't know if you stop at four. I mean, four gets you to 16. I think that's a good number. The best thing of all, it takes divisions away. I don't like divisions. And listen, I guess maybe I don't like divisions. Maybe I would like divisions. And we talked about this yesterday on the show as well. And Scott and I talked about it on Wednesday as well too, that it has made life easier. It isn't easy. I'm just saying easier for the Iowa Hawkeyes when you don't have to play Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State on a yearly basis. You usually get one, two. I think this year the only one they get is Penn State. If you have times where you don't play Michigan or Michigan State or Michigan or Ohio State, that's a huge deal. And not have years where you don't play both of them is a huge deal. But the landscape for college football has to change. The way we're going to view college football is going to change. I do believe deep in my heart that the NCAA men and women's basketball is going to keep it, it's never going to overtake football. You just don't do that. But it's going to keep cutting away. And if you don't think that it's important to take a look at it and say, well, there's no way that basketball is ever going to be anywhere near what football is. Football is taking a book out of basketball by going to a 12-team tournament. And the crazy thing about doing that is one of the biggest things that NCAA didn't like about it, and there were times that some athletic directors in the country didn't like about it, was the extra games for these young student athletes. And I think that's the one thing that name, image, and likeness has taken away. Because before, when you're a young student athlete and now you're going into, you're going to be playing up and when you should be getting ready for draft status, right? But there's dollars involved. And I think there should be dollars involved. I think there should be dollars involved to the teams that are making the 12-team playoff. And I think those dollars should move their way down to the individuals that are there. I feel badly, just the four-team playoff, the amount of money that's made that doesn't make its way back into any of the student athletes. But take the NCAA tournament and all the money that's made from the NCAA tournament, and none of that money migrates its way down into the pockets of the people. As much as I love Fran McCaffrey and I love TJ and all the different basketball coaches, I'm not watching the NCAA tournament because of a coach. Never have, never will. I'm watching players play. And I'm so excited about watching players play this year because I think there is so much parity in the NCAA right now. On any given night, a team could beat somebody by 20 or get beat by 20 or have a double overtime game. It is amazing the amount of and I'm trying to figure out what the right word is. There are no super teams out there, even though Purdue may have four losses. It doesn't matter. Those four losses have typically came in games on the road. But so Houston has two losses. The issue that Houston's going to have, they haven't played the schedule that Kansas has played or Purdue has played or Baylor or and Gonzaga hasn't. You know, that's a tough thing for Gonzaga. But, I mean, you're looking at once you get past the third team, you're looking at six losses, eight losses, nine losses. You know, the number 25 team is 21-8. It's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hasn't even come close for a while. I mean, it's fun to see that. You have teams like North Carolina that has chances of not making it into the NCAA tournament. Kentucky, for the longest time, was in that same boat. Are they going to make the NCAA? There was no way in the world that you thought that was going to be an issue leading up to this year in the NCAA. Marquette being 23-6, Baylor being 21-8, and they've been without a couple of their players. It's just K-State not having one of its players for a couple of games. They're 22-7. I wouldn't want to play any of those. I wouldn't want to play Virginia at 21-6. I'm telling you right now that I would not, and I'm trying to see where they're at. Creighton is the first team, so they'd be number 26. Duke is number 27. Do you really think that Marquette or Houston or Kansas or any of those teams want to play those guys in the after you play into the second round, into the 32s? Do you think you want to play teams that have experience like that? I wouldn't. It's going to be so interesting. I wouldn't want to play Iowa and the way that they can play offense. I wouldn't want to play Iowa State in the way that they play defense. You don't have tape on them. You don't know how to play. You don't know how to get around that. There's going to be so many things that are going to be so exciting. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. B Styles coming up right after this break.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Second segment of the second hour. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services throughout the Midwest. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, provide a peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning in the future of janitorial service. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of the program. My next guest is Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. It is Friday. How you doing, B?
Doing good. I'm actually back here in the Hawkeye State visiting some family this weekend. So it's kind of ironic how it ends up being this particular weekend that I'm back here and you have the women's basketball team playing literally seven blocks from my apartment in downtown Minneapolis.
It is, man. You got 7 minutes before that Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball game.
Yeah, they do. Yep, they're about to play here against Purdue,
which is going to be exciting. Let's start with Iowa men's basketball. Mm-hmm. Had a good week, played really well, and does it matter if they're the two seed or not on how well they're going to play in this tournament?
Probably not, just because, as you know, basketball is about matchups, and you hear the phrase styles make fights, and that's going to be true at any postseason basketball game that you can think of. But it's going to obviously depend on who the 7 and 10 seeds are if they get the 2. But I think it would be quite an accomplishment for Iowa to get the 2 seed, especially when you consider that the last time I was on with you, things were looking bleak as far as them, you know, were they even going to remain like a solid NCAA tournament team, or were they going to find themselves sliding under the bubble after that loss to Wisconsin? And then suddenly they pull up that miracle against Michigan State last weekend here in Iowa City, and then they go to Bloomington, and right from the jump, they just took it to Indiana. Yeah. And there was no, and that really shocked me because I figured they were going to be walking into a hornet's nest given what happened the last time when they played the Hoosiers, Carver, and it was anything but. They got out to that lead and they just didn't look back.
Well, everything changed after that Michigan State game. I mean, their attitudes and everything were unbelievable.
And, you know, that's something that, assuming they handle their business against Nebraska on Sunday, maybe that does bode well for them next week in terms of being able to make a run like they did a year ago. But then you get, you go back to the discussion we had last week, which is, okay,
do you really want that?
Is the run in the Big Ten tournament going to be worth it if you end up losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament again? I'll say this too, and I know this is something that we've discussed in recent weeks, which is right now, I think the big thing for Iowa is, can they be either, like, let's say they get a 7 or 8 seed, can they be that first 7th seed or that first 8th seed in the committee's eyes? Because if that ends up being the case, you have a potential for them playing right down the road from you over at Wells Fargo Arena.
Right.
And then you're going to have a team like a Kansas wondering, well, gee, how do we get potted with a team that's literally playing in its home state? But that's something, it's happened before, and it could very easily be a scenario for Iowa here. If, like I said, if the committee sees them as, if they make them a 7 seed, are they the best 7 seed? Because if they are, then they're probably going to end up in Des Moines against some Big 12 team. If they're not, that, or if they're like the second 7 seed or third 7 seed, then maybe they get sent out to Denver.
Right.
Or play a team out there. Or if they end up being like the second 8 seed or third 8 seed, then they get sent down to Birmingham to play either like Alabama or Houston. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the big question here between now and Selection Sunday.
I do have to add this, too, and I wanted to get your take on this. I have never seen Tom Izzo look so bad on how you screw up a game like that without fouling, letting them just shoot three-pointers. I'm sitting there watching it, because after watching Iowa State get beat, and I'm like, that's unbelievable. I mean, there was everybody.
And then Wisconsin did the same thing the next day against Michigan.
Yeah, and
I mean, it's the ongoing debate in basketball, which it shouldn't really even be a debate, because you should be fouling up three if you can.
Absolutely.
But you see it time and time again, and I'm willing to bet you there's 67 NCAA tournament games. I bet there's going to be at least one where you have that kind of ending where it's like, okay, is the team going to actually do what they should, or are they going to let it play out and risk, you know, a team hitting a three to tie a game and force overtime?
It's a lot less stressful for these guys if you're fouling them every time, and then it just becomes a free throw shooting contest.
Right.
Not a three, they get a three-pointer, they foul you, you make one of two, and it keeps doing that. It doesn't take long to change a game.
Right, and then you think back to like what you were saying about Michigan State. It wasn't even, like, there was that, but then there was also the turnovers they had late and their inability to make free throws, which is ironic because you could argue that's what cost Iowa when they played them in East Lansing, was the fact that they couldn't make any shots at the foul line late in that game. Otherwise, they probably would have had two wins over Michigan State this year.
And I'm almost thinking this for both. I mean, I would like to see the Iowa women win a couple of games. I don't think I need the Iowa women to win the Big Ten tournament. I don't think I need the Iowa men to win.
I think they're going to.
I mean, they match up better, and they got they.
Right.
I mean, they're in the spot where they needed to be, because that way Maryland has to play Indiana and not, you know. So I agree.
Iowa would play Maryland tomorrow if they both win.
If they both win, so they get Maryland to match. See, that's a tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough game for Iowa.
But I'll tell you what though, the fact that that tournament's in Minneapolis, I don't know how much of a difference it would make in a championship game against Indiana after what we saw last Sunday at Carver, but I think against a team like Maryland, it could absolutely make a difference, because you're not going to expect Maryland fans to travel all that well to Twin Cities. Whereas, you know, Iowa fans are going to flock up there. So I think that's something that could definitely play the Hawkeyes' advantage if that's the matchup tomorrow. And honestly, if I'm Iowa, assuming you beat Purdue here today, you're in a revenge spot tomorrow anyway, because you're either playing Maryland, who just clobbered you last week, or you're playing Illinois, who beat you earlier in the season in Champaign, and that game may or may not have cost you a chance at a share of a Big Ten title. That you could have played for this past weekend against the Hoosiers. So either way, I think that there's going to be a revenge factor of sorts, assuming they're able to handle their business against Purdue tonight.
Yep. And Purdue's not an easy game either. I mean, that's a really good team too. The Big Ten women's basketball is really good, and that's good
absolutely.
To see. Do you believe that Drake needs to win the Missouri Valley tournament to get in the NCAA?
They probably do, and that's a shame.
It's
one of those things. it's one of those things we've had this discussion before, but it's just like the smaller teams, they're going to look at their net. They're going to look at their strength of schedule. That's really where those metrics come into play, if we're being honest, is it's comparing the mid-major teams to the Power 5 teams, because that's why you see teams like a Wisconsin or a Michigan right now, and then people are talking about them being on the bubble, and they're just like, how? You know? But, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I think Drake probably has to win the Missouri Valley Tournament this weekend in St. Louis to get in. But, you know, that's probably the direction, especially because they didn't actually win the conference going in. I believe Bradley did. So
right.
I think it's probably for Drake, it's a win. You got to win out to get in.
Yeah, they split with Bradley. So Bradley, mm-hmm. Bradley got the one. But so if you're looking at the NCAA tournament on both sides, my thought process on this since the middle of the season is there are going to be – now, I get that one versus 16 games can still be blowouts in that. But, man, these 8, 9, 7, 10s, 5, 12s, mm-hmm. If these higher seeds win those games, I don't think they're upsets.
Right. Well, I think they would be in the women's game because of the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the first weekend, it's the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds are all at home.
Right. More men's.
In this case, you're gonna have Iowa playing two games at Carver like they did last year.
Yeah, they're gonna win.
Right. Well,
on the men's side, though. Yeah.
Right. On the men's side, yes, I agree with you that there's definitely more parity this year.
Oh,
although I will say two things. One, if you're talking about the Big Ten specifically, there's all this parity, yet we've seen time and time again they struggle to get out of that first weekend and they end up only getting like one or two teams in the Sweet 16. And if I had to place a bet on that right now, I think that that's probably going to be the case again this year. The question is which one or two teams are going to get to that second weekend. The other thing I would just say is there's one team in particular, and they're not too far away from Ames, Iowa, in the same conference, as a matter of fact, that's starting to look the part in terms of a team that could go the distance, and they just did it a year ago.
Right.
And if Kansas, to me, the huge thing to watch with that is going to be what one seed they get. Because if they're, say, the first over number one seed or even the second number one seed, let's say Alabama gets the top one, then you're talking about the Jayhawks going to Des Moines the first weekend and assuming they get out of that, getting to play in Kansas City for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight,
right.
Which that makes a huge difference compared to them having to go to Las Vegas or New York. So, yeah, I that's going to be the thing to watch for me. And if they're able to get that kind of pass, then I don't see how Kansas doesn't end up back there.
So the if you look at it, once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. Houston, Alabama, Kansas, UCLA, Purdue is how they're ranked. If I was going to rank them going into the NCAA tournament, I would have Kansas, Alabama, UCLA, Purdue, Houston. I'm not as big a Houston fan as a lot of people are. And I think the Zach Edey thing, even though in the Big Ten, after you play him a couple of times, you know what to do. I don't think these other teams know what to do with him.
I'm very nervous about Purdue, though, because of the guards, and that's what you're going to need. That's the one thing that has me hesitant about them thinking that they could get to the Final Four, because you're right, Zach Edey is an incredible player. But I'll tell you that I mentioned how Kansas could have a very likely easy path. There's also UCLA, especially if they're able to get in the West, because you're looking at them maybe getting to play Sacramento and then going to Las Vegas, where – you know you're going to have plenty of Bruin fans that make the check for both of those. So that could very easily be something where – those are the things that I kind of have a tendency of looking for when the brackets come out is what kind of path do these teams potentially get, like, once they get to, say, the Sweet 16? Because that maybe it's like, say, a 4 seed somehow is playing closer to home than, you know, like, let's say, for example, Indiana gets a 4 seed and they end up in Louisville. Then maybe that's a recipe for them getting a Sweet 16 spot or winning a Sweet 16 game over one, mainly because the game is going to be so close to Bloomington that a lot of their fans are going to be able to make that trip. So So that's definitely something to keep an eye on once Selection Sunday comes around, for sure.
And we'll have this discussion next week. But do you have? I mean, is there a sleeper team out there? And I'm not saying sleeper, but even in the top 20, that you just go, man, if they get the right draw, it's going to be hard to beat this team.
I think there's two teams I'm kind of looking at, and they're both in the Big East. One is Marquette, who won the conference.
Shaka Smart.
Just when you think about what Shaka Smart's done there this year, it's incredible. The other team is UConn, because I'll just go back to the fact, the last time there was a tournament where there was a whole lot of parity going in, it was UConn as a 7 seed making a run all the way to a national title. And I know Dan Hurley's the coach this time around, but they look good at times, and I know the metrics really like the Huskies, so that could be a team to potentially keep an eye on, especially if they end up in the East region getting to play in New York if they make it to the second weekend.
Anything surprising you at the NFL Combine so far?
I mean, besides the big news that came out the other day about Jalen Carter, which, first of all, that's an unfortunate thing, but and, you know, obviously you think about the victims of that accident, and it sucks what happened there. Once you're able to look past that and you focus on the football side, I think it could impact what the Bears end up doing, because it could be something where now maybe they only make one trade with a team like a Houston or Indy, so that way they're in a position to get a Will Anderson or possibly that guy from Texas Tech if they like him more, as opposed to maybe trading back further down and accumulating more picks that way. Because at least when you had Jalen Carter there as an option, like, it could be like, okay, do they want the three technique inside, or do they want that pass rusher? And now I don't see how he could be on their board, and I think this could be something where he ends up – I don't think he slips out of the top 10, but maybe possibly slips out of the top 5 in light of what happened here over the last 48 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And if you had to pick a surprise quarterback out of that group that goes higher than everybody thinks, who you taking?
I think Max Duggan could be somebody that goes day 2 instead of day 3.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's a first-round quarterback, but he could be that guy that gets picked, you know, in a later round. And depending on the team he goes to, maybe he gets an opportunity like you saw Jalen Hurts get in Philadelphia.
Perfect. As always, B, I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
I am off next Friday, so hopefully I can get you in on Thursday so we can
talk. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to my sister, Jade. She is having a birthday tomorrow, and she also just had a baby last week. So I just wanted to make sure that you got a shout out. Yeah.
Good for you, brother. Have a good one. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk next Thursday.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, B. Brennan Styles, you're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Last segment. Be right back.
Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Last segment on this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important. Currently, over 500 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of our program. Lots of basketball to talk about over the next few days, the next couple of weeks. Right now, in the first quarter, Iowa is up 13-6 over Purdue. You just have the men's tomorrow. Even though, like, the Missouri Valley right now, they're getting ready. Drake's going to play at 6. You and I got beat today by Bradley, number one seed Bradley. But a great job by you and I to get to that point. It's going to get better for the you and I Panthers. I truly believe next year is going to be a really good year. But just some of these men's games tomorrow. Alabama, Texas A&M, number 2, number 24. Iowa State gets Baylor tomorrow, the first game without Caleb Grill. What's team like? What are they going to do? How's everything going to work? I mean, I think all of us are looking to see what that's going to be like. K-State is at West Virginia. West Virginia trying to get one more big win and then another big win in the Big 12 to maybe make the dance. Tennessee-Auburn is not a small game. TCU-Oklahoma is not a small game. Kansas at Texas, number 3 and number 9 at 3 o'clock tomorrow, is not a small game. Arizona, UCLA, huge game. Arizona going into UCLA. So all those games before those conferences kick off their conference championship games, the Missouri Valley getting that done today. The Big Ten, I like the fact the Big Ten gets their team some rest, getting these Big Ten championship games out of the way. I think that I definitely do not think that that's a bad thing. See if any. So 17-8 is where it's at. So we'll just kind of leave that at that. Looking at some other big news that are out there. Kirby Smart is. You know, he's trying to make sure that everybody thinks that Georgia's culture is okay, even after the fatal crash, the arrest, and all that. Listen, that is a nightmare for football coaches. You know, it's a lot of kids. I mean, it's over 120 kids in the program. All the things going on. It's a crazy, crazy time. But we, you know, it is what it is. And it, you know, I was waiting to see, I really was. I was waiting to see what happened with the Georgia football player and that happening and doing that compared to the Alabama basketball player and everything going on there. And even a little bit different, it's still very interesting on how they explained, you know, hey, he was just driving in a car. He didn't know it was in the car. He didn't have, you know, it's still, I don't think we've heard the last of that with Georgia. And you never know if you've heard the last of it with Alabama. And you haven't yet, you don't know if you've heard the end of it with Georgia either. With all of this being said and done, but it is a, you know, it, these young men and women in college athletics, man, you have to grow up really fast. Stetson Bennett, quarterback, the Georgia Bulldogs to an NCAA championship in football, has had some off the field issues. And he's not a spring chicken. I mean, he's 24, 25 years old. He's been around for a while. It happens. You know, we tend to forget that the simple fact that they can make their way through all of this activity and stress and all the work they put in and the games and the fans and everything and all the negativity and the positivity and all of that, and they're still okay. I mean, I think about that. I'm like, you know, could I really do my real job having somebody sitting across from me booing me or telling me how bad at my job I am? I don't think I would take that very well. It's interesting the way we look at things when it comes to sports and the things we think we can do. They said this one surprised me. So John Jones is coming back to the UFC. He must have mended fences and did all that. He's added 43 pounds. I'm going to be very interested to see if he is in the right frame of mind and has done his due diligence to get ready. There is no one that anybody wants to see more in the octagon than him. Him and Conor McGregor are really close, but John Jones is a Hall of Famer. Conor probably is too, but you can't compare their careers in MMA. I mean, if John Jones could have stayed out of John Jones's way, he would have been the greatest MMA fighter. And I'm not sure he's not the greatest MMA fighter. It is going to be interesting. I saw that Tiger Woods is not going to play in the big golf tournament that's coming up next weekend. He's just not ready. That four rounds that he played at his Genesis tournament, I just don't think that he's recovered. And I think that to cover up, to help in walking, you take and you tape his foot up so much that it messes up his knee. And I think that he's having more knee trouble than anything now. And it is so difficult to be, it's so difficult to be a professional athlete. And to be a professional athlete at the highest level, and there is nothing in golf that is normal. It's not a normal movement. There's nothing normal about playing golf. Maybe putting might be the only normal thing you're doing. Everything else you're doing, you're making your body do stuff that it doesn't normally want to do or can do or any of that. So it's a big deal for the PGA to have Tiger, and I think that everybody is, I think they want to see him play the four majors. If he gets to play the four majors and he played his own tournament, I think that's okay. I just think that his ankle and his foot is bad enough that he may never be able to do more than one or two things. I think it's more important for him to be there for Charlie and do things like that than it is for us to get to see him play golf. That hurts to say that, but I think that is that's the correct thing to say, because I think it's important for him to be there for Charlie. And I think it's more important than, his stature and where he's at in golf isn't, even if he wins another, it's not going to change. You have the diehard older group that maybe keeps Jack where above him in terms of what it did for golf and everything. If you add everything in, I don't even think it's close. And I'm a huge Jack Nicklaus fan. So that'll be interesting. At the end of the first quarter, University of Iowa women are up 19-10. In the Big Ten Championship. So we have that going. I had some other just quick things because I don't have very much time, and I apologize. But I bookmarked a couple of things today. I think it's very interesting on every well, there we go. See, look at that. These segments go too fast. Hope everybody had a great week. Hope everybody enjoyed the week that we had in here. We are going to be here once again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, and then we're going to have a week and a couple of days off, and then we're going to come back strong when we get back here. I appreciate all of you. I love that you're listening. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday.